It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
But for all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Put them in a microwave for like 2 or 3 minutes.
Is that quick?
Yeah, okay, maybe. Whoa, five? That's me. You know, 4 or 5.
4 or 5? Yeah, but have you ever been just so ravishingly hungry that it's like just whatever you can get your paws on, you're putting it in your mouth and you're eating it? Have you ever been that hungry?
Not to the point where I'd eat a raw potato.
I didn't do it often. I didn't do it often, but there were times where I was really hungry and didn't have, maybe it didn't even have time to cook it. But a good friend of mine from back in the college days just came in and she informed Scotty that I used to eat raw potatoes. And now that's caused Scotty to look at me. You're looking at me judgmentally.
No, I don't know. I'm like, maybe I've just led a very blessed life. To where I've never gotten to a point where I've needed to eat a raw potato.
You've bitten into a raw potato though, right?
Oh yeah,
it's pretty starchy.
Well, it's like when you're making mashed potatoes and you cube them up and you throw them in the water and you're like, oh, is it ready yet? And you pop one in and you're like, nope, not ready yet. So that's.
Did Scotty just say he's been so blessed that he didn't have to have a raw potato?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how blessed you have to be to actually
It's a good life, Scotty.
Well, I know. That's what I'm just saying. Like, I've never been to a point in my life where I'm like, I cannot wait 5 minutes to eat this potato. I've got to eat it right now.
I would like to tell you, Scotty, that as a man, I have evolved quite a bit. I was somewhat Neanderthalic. Now, that's not an insult to myself. I'm
Neanderthalic.
I'm not saying that I wasn't intelligent. I'm just saying that when it came right down to the nitty-gritty, I would just pick a potato up and eat it if I had to. And I know that that doesn't come across as the most intelligent thing to do because you can legitimately put a decent cook on a potato in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
A couple of fork holes, throw it in there, and, you know, at least you got a soft potato. But I also really, maybe something you don't know about me. This is something you don't know about.
Okay.
I enjoy attention. I like to get, I like to have people look at me.
Yeah, that is kind of a breaking news here. I hadn't really considered that before.
And when you eat raw potatoes around women, I don't know if it's really impressive to them. As much as it is kind of just confusion.
Well,
like, is that like a cichlid? Is that like showing them a cichlid? Does it have a similar?
Cichlids eat goldfish. I was just eating a raw potato.
Does that work? Like with the opposite sex?
No. Mm-mm. Nope. It concerns them about you.
Because at the end of the day, you want to lock lips. And she's like, ooh, he just ate a raw potato.
Right. And at the end of the day, you want to take a boy home to your house and the last thing you want is for mom and dad to see this boy pick up a raw potato and eat it in their kitchen. That worries them too.
I mean, if you had, you know, and granted this is years and years and years and years in the future, but, you know, let's say your oldest brings a boy home and he is in the kitchen and your wife is making dinner and he just grabs a potato and starts chomping on it.
Yeah.
You're going to look at him like, get the hell out of my house.
I'll look at him and I'll be like, I was there once. It's not that impressive.
I've done it.
You can do other things for attention, son. Like, how about this raw onion?
Let's get this table up on your chin. Let's see how that works for you.
You want to eat raw foods? Let's get into raw foods here.
Yeah, get that onion in there. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing really good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Can't complain.
It's good to see you, buddy.
Back at you. We are live here at Built Bar once again.
Very interesting evening yesterday. Jumped on with Jake and Scott. Jake Scott and Gordon Monson. And I had seen a tweet come across. I was actually talking with a coach and going back and forth about a couple of different things. And they were preparing for somebody. And I knew that there was some interest that was being generated about a potential game that might be scheduled. And then I saw a tweet come across from PFF. I think it's, what is it?
Pro Football Focus.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So I don't know why PFF would be tweeting out about BYU and a potential scheduling, but I tweeted and I said, can confirm. It was not that it was scheduled, but it was in the works. And I said, can confirm. And then Jake and Gordon hit me up. Austin called me. I jumped on with them yesterday and did a quick thought about the potential of Coastal Carolina BYU being played. And I knew that there was high potential. I knew that Liberty was fighting it for all they were worth, Scotty, yeah, because they had game day there, and Hugh Freeze loves attention. And then you could see all the pieces starting to crumble around Liberty. Their starting quarterback announced to have COVID, and you just saw it all starting to crumble. And that's where we are this morning. BYU gets the schedule. BYU gets a nice game against Coastal Carolina, and I have spent way too much time breaking down film and trying to gain a better understanding. So,
well, with that, let's get to it. It's time for your starting lineup right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love it! On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Well, there's a lot of great videos you've already posted up there, and I think anybody who's following has a much clearer picture as to who Coastal Carolina is, because frankly, nobody around here probably has paid much attention to Coastal Carolina until now. But now, BYU and Coastal Carolina set to do battle on Saturday, and it's time to learn a little bit more about this team.
Scotty, you've known me for a lot of years, and you know I don't tap dance around a lot of things. And even if my opinion is going to get me in trouble,
I did just barely learn that you like attention.
I do like attention,
but I can't confirm that you don't tap dance around this stuff.
This isn't.
But you did once tap dance.
But we did do tap dancing. You're not gonna.
I was a clogger. I wasn't. I didn't tap dance.
What's the difference between clogging and?
Stop it.
Tap dancing.
There's not a difference.
There is a major difference, Lane. I won't let you or Scotty throw disparaging words towards clogging tap dancing. Clogging, there's a clogged shoe, and it's a separate metal plate from the shoe. Tapping, yeah, it's a tap shoe. It's just a...
Okay, I'm sorry. Get to your point. You don't tap dance. Okay.
Okay, but we are going to clog our way to this game.
You don't we're clog
gonna,
your this, way
we're
around
gonna
things.
Weezer Whip It Kids to the...
It was the Kick Up Kids. Is this what we're going to do? And by the way... I love that name. Now I'm on the trail. I am on the hunt for the days of your jazz singing and dancing, because I know that you were with a traveling dancing show. I know you were.
You need evidence, and you don't have it.
The Chloeans have let me in on this.
The Chloeans?
They have. I've met two that said, hey, have you talked to Scotty about his singing and dancing
background? Oh, man, it's not true.
Okay, well, I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
So,
Boise State with Hank Bachmeier, I think, is a better team. Washington is a better team. I'm even watching Oregon State film right now, getting ready for Utah, Oregon State. I think that Oregon State has better trench play. So when I watched Coastal Carolina, and I only watched two games, I only broke down two games, And I spent the majority of my time with UL or Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, because I feel like they have kind of the most similar look that BYU might have going against this Coastal Carolina defense. I didn't spend as much time looking at Louisiana's defense and what they do scheme-wise. So I can't really compare that to what BYU's doing. But I've got a good feel what Coastal Carolina's trying to do and what BYU's defense can do against it. This is a team that BYU should beat. They should beat them handedly.
Vegas has just opened up with a 10-point line in this one.
I think that this is, and going off of just the film work that I did this morning, I think that this is a game where BYU should be able to control time of possession. They should get themselves into second and four and second and five religiously, just systematically. So, Scotty, Coastal Carolina, they like to play the three downs. They'll play a nose tackle who runs a plus-minus or a zero technique, which plus-minus zero technique is really simple. The zero technique is head up on the center. The plus is the right side of the center, the right side of the defense, left side of the center, and then the minus is the left side of the defense, the right side of the center. So it's so when you hear me say zero plus or minus, it's just they'll shade a center or they'll go head up, and then they run two wings or two edges. And then they'll bring two stand-ups linebackers on the far outsides, and they'll drop them into zone coverages. And then they'll run zone run blitzes. So they'll just, based off of what BYU's doing in strength of formation or what Louisiana was doing in strength of formation or what Texas State was doing, was the other team that I spent a little bit of time watching. And that was not a good game. Texas State is so bad. They're bad.
Hey, you want to know if
the Sun Belt is not a good conference.
You want to know an interesting fact about Texas State that I just saw?
Yeah.
Their season's done. Like, they finished the year, and they were the only, I believe they're going to be the only school that's going to play a 12-game schedule. They went 2-10, played 12 games, and never had a COVID issue either with themselves or an opponent. They played a full 12-game schedule,
really?
And they're done.
And never had
a COVID issue or a COVID cancellation.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
I guess I got to be careful. I don't want to get too much into the weeds and the technicalities of everything, but BYU should overpower Coastal Carolina in the trenches on both sides. I did post a video. I've posted quite a few videos at 975 Hants. Go give me a follow, and you can catch all those game or all the different film clips that I've put out there. One of the most glaring issues, Scotty, Coastal Carolina's center is 5'9", 285 pounds.
Is that true?
Yeah, he's 5'9", 285.
Okay,
pounds.
Now. How tall was Tijon Kuroma back in the day?
5'10 or 5'11.
So kind of that same kind of those same
but
kind of
Tijon
dimension.
Was 3'15.
Yeah.
Or 3'10 or 3'15.
And had some big old pythons for arms.
He was very wide. This guy is not that wide. In fact, here, I'll just pull this up so you can look at that really quick. So I would say that Louisiana's nose tackle is probably more like a similar size to Tijon, or sorry, to Kairos Tonga. So I think that BYU, just in the trenches, like right in the middle of the makeup of this game, they should dominate them on both sides of the ball. I do think that their defensive line is decent in run-stop play, but I think that their defensive line is terrible in rushing the passer. And I think that BYU's offensive line should beat them up pretty solidly.
Look, they haven't seen a team like BYU.
They haven't. No, absolutely not. No. When you watch Coastal Carolina film, you can actually see deficiencies in areas. Size in trench, some speed at wide receiver, some speed even at the safety spot. There's some deficiency. When you watch BYU play, and you watch a guy like Isaac Rex, who's a big body, move down the seam and catch an over-the-top pass, that's impressive. Or you know, I think that Dax Milne and Gunnar Romney have come a long way in getting physical off off of man press and getting into their cuts and separating and getting distance. And you don't see that as much with Coastal Carolina. I want to be really careful not to just jump all in on this thing, but based off of what I'm seeing on film, this is a 25-point win for BYU.
So you're saying take the 10 and roll.
And roll, yes. Yeah. Because I don't think Coastal Carolina, I don't think is going to put up the fight in the trench that even Boise State did. And Boise State didn't put up a lot of fight. Now, Boise State, obviously, without their quarterback against BYU, and I know everybody blamed it on that, but as Kalani mentioned, their quarterback didn't play on the defensive side. I think BYU put up 50-some-odd points against Boise State's defense.
Correct.
So, and so I feel like BYU is in a really good position in this game. I'm kind of surprised that Coastal Carolina would take the game, but it is going to bring a lot of attention. And they've got nothing to lose,
yeah,
really, because they weren't going to go anywhere anyways.
No, I think if game day's not there, they don't do it. But with game day planning on coming there and ESPN like, hey, our crews are already there at your school. They're setting up. You better find another opponent. Tom Holmoe's on the line like, hey, what's up? We can be there. Let's go. And off you go. I don't think – you're right. Coastal Carolina really has nothing to gain from this. If they do win, I guess it kind of keeps them on the heels of Cincinnati as the top G5 school. That if Cincinnati were to lose, they might be able to get that automatic G5 spot. That's the only thing that makes sense to me as to why Coastal would play this, and obviously the money in playing a game. But if I frankly, I'd be a little surprised if game day wasn't there. I don't know if they play this game.
And just to be really clear, the Sun Belt, the top three teams in the Sun Belt would lose to probably the middle – no, not middle, but the fifth, sixth, and seventh best team in the AAC. Like, the AAC is a much better conference.
Yeah,
It is. I'm just – in watching Troy and Texas State and breaking down their film and having to kind of suffer through different film reviews with them, now Coastal Carolina, you know, even looking at the Texas State game that they had last week and then – looking back to whatever 4 weeks ago it was or 5 weeks ago against Louisiana, it's just not – it's not a good conference. These aren't really good teams. I know that Louisiana beat Iowa State, and I don't – that just tells me that Iowa State shouldn't be in the top 10 because Louisiana – if there's a good team, they're not that good.
Louisiana put it on Iowa State too.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think it was a 15 or 17-point win, something like that.
Yeah.
But that just tells me Iowa State shouldn't be in the top 10. That's what that tells me. Because Louisiana isn't that good. And Coastal Carolina was in a dogfight with them all the way down to the final possession. It was kind of a fun game to watch. Actually, it was a really fun game to watch. It's very entertaining. But you could see the size and the speed in the trench is all the difference in the world. Louisiana's size and speed matched up with Coastal Carolina. And they were able to kind of keep pace. But I just don't see them being able to match up on the reverse of that.
You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, what about preparation? You've only had 2 or 3 days to prepare for this team. I would think if you don't have a lot of time to prepare, the advantage would go to the bigger, stronger, more physical team. So I would say if there's a team that the lack of preparation favors,
sure,
it would be BYU. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. And you're right. You're sure. You're right because you can kind of impose your will.
Yeah.
And
like, it doesn't matter what you run. We're just gonna smack you around.
And then it comes down to imposing your will and ball security. And so I do think that benefits BYU. I had somebody on Twitter, a guy that I enjoy going back and forth with on Twitter, asked me about the risk of BYU taking this game, of BYU taking Coastal Carolina. Is it worth the risk to drive all the way across the country or to fly across the country and go play on their turf? And absolutely, 100%, unequivocally, yes, it's worth the risk, because I think they see what I see. I think they see that they've got advantages across the board. I think BYU can look at the film and be like, oh, now this is a 9-0 paper champ. And they can drill holes through it. I also, like, when I'm watching the film, Scotty, I watch it and I put in my mind how BYU's formations and movement would work against Coastal Carolina's defense or offense. And when I watch Coastal Carolina's defense, their zone defense is too soft. They leave a lot of pockets. And so just envision Romney or Milne or Wake or some of these guys cutting into those pockets. You're going to see a lot of that. And then you're going to see Coastal Carolina feel like those pockets are too big and they're going to try to press a little bit. And I want you to envision the strength of BYU's receivers being able to push off the strength of the lesser size, lesser strong corners of Coastal Carolina. So I envision a lot of things and seeing BYU in every angle being able to win this game and doing it convincingly. So I don't think they risk a ton.
No, and if you were ranked maybe eighth or ninth in the college football, then I wouldn't play this game. But when you're 14th, yeah, absolutely you play this game.
Got nothing to lose there either.
Absolutely play this game. All right, we're live here at Built Bar, and I was not here last week, so I have not tried the white chocolate yet.
Oh, come on, peel that thing back. Get into it.
Brenna's hanging out with us. How are you?
Hey, Brenna.
Good to see you again.
Come on, Brenna. When we were here, we were talking about this amazing white chocolate bar. It's absolutely spectacular. The amazing creaminess of the Built Bar in general. It really is the best protein bar in the on the market. But then you add this white milk chocolate, and you put in that amazing cookies and cream. So, Scotty, right, that is the white chocolate cookies and
white
cream.
White chocolate cookies and cream.
And, Brenna.
Isn't it amazing? What is the first impressions? Let's get the first impressions right now.
So I gave Brenna my first impressions, and my first impression, that's my favorite bar that Built Bar has. Now, there's 18 flavors here at Built Bar, but that is more creamy. It's the cookies and cream filling. Is that the same cookies and cream filling that's in the milk chocolate?
Yeah.
This white chocolate, this is
that's silk, isn't it?
This is really, really good.
Yeah, it's
this
so
is better
creamy
than a candy bar.
Yeah.
I don't know what the combination of the two,
it
the white chocolate.
Hits.
And I have not had a cookies and cream before either. And that is, yeah, that's the real deal right there.
Okay.
That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So, Brenna, help
it's people, a lot softer, too.
It is a lot softer. And it's just a lot creamier.
Yeah, the creaminess.
You know, think of a white chocolate Milky Way.
Yep, exactly. Very close to that, kind of the texture of that. And then that white chocolate just adds a really nice dimension.
Yeah, it does.
So is the white chocolate bar, is that just a seasonal thing, Brenna?
We're fighting hard to keep it, right?
Oh, nice. Yeah. You got to fight that fight, Brenna.
Yeah, because it is too good to let it go. But right now I've heard that it's just seasonal. So get it while it's here, and hopefully we can convince them to keep it, because it is the new favorite.
Well, BuiltBar.com, if you go to BuiltBar.com, you can pick up a box of these amazing white chocolate cookies and cream, which, Scotty, is not Brenna's favorite. Brenna, obviously, she liked the peanut butter, but you like the other white chocolate.
Oh, the salted caramel is really good.
So we have not.
Well, that's going to be round two.
We've not tried the white chocolate salted caramel, but hopefully we get a chance at that, because
absolutely,
that's got
to
be amazing.
It's amazing.
By the way, go to BuiltBar.com, and you're giving away 25% off today.
Yes, and there is to get you in the holiday spirit, there's a fun 12-day advent calendar that's also available with additional deals and savings, and it comes with 12 additional treats as well. So lots of fun, exciting things.
I love it. Go to BuiltBar.com and use that. What promo code should we have them use today? What are you thinking?
Zone.
Zone?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Promo code ZONE, and you are good to go. 25% off in the advent calendar. So many other great things going on. In fact, if you use the promo code, you'll get an extra percent off.
Yeah.
26% off.
Yeah, can you believe that? So you're going to get an extra percent off for using promo code ZONE. They're giving you the 25% off. It's just the perfect time to try Built Bar.
Yeah.
This was my suggestion last time, and I'm going to stick with this.
Yeah.
Just get two boxes. If you haven't tried Built Bar, get two boxes.
Yeah.
get the mix because that gives you all 18 flavors. And then get a box of this white chocolate cookies and cream. And
yeah, you're not going to go wrong there.
And listen, the white chocolate salted caramel, going off Brenna's suggestion, yeah, you could try that as well. But these bars are the best protein bars you will ever find.
Let's make it happen. Go to builtbar.com, use the keyword zone, and you'll get 26% off. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Number one. The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Live here at Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Get not just 25. If you use the promo code ZONE, they'll kick in an extra percent. You'll get 27% off that initial order. All right, joining us now, one of our favorite people on the planet, former BYU great, teammate of Hans Olsen, a man who's got many stories about Hans Olsen that he thankfully keeps to himself for the most part.
Do appreciate those stories. He lets some out, but he does keep the most incriminating ones between us, and I appreciate him for that.
Will Snowden joins us. Will, how are you?
Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how are you? What a wonderful day it is, huh?
Oh, it's a wonderful day, buddy.
Scotty, how are you, brother? So good to hear your voice, always.
I'm better now that I get a chat with you. How's everything in the Snowden house?
You know, we're hanging in there, brother. I mean, day by day, you know, kind of watching what's going on. It's a crazy year, obviously. Recruiting's been a little bit crazy, too, for our seniors that we have that we've been training and working with. But we're hanging in there, and things are starting to turn around. Obviously, this is some pretty big news that dropped yesterday with Coastal, BYU hopping on a plane, going down there to play this game. I just love it. Everything this season just seems, you know, I don't know, maybe Mad Max, just kind of out of control and exciting. So it's exciting for these guys. It's interesting, you know. I imagine the coaches all have, you know, a lot of excitement and then some concerns where you don't have a ton of time to prepare for a team. So I think both teams will probably be concerned about game planning and going in there and putting together putting on a good show. But I expect BYU to put on a pretty good show this Saturday.
Talk a little bit about that, Will. I mean, now they've got a couple of weeks that they'd be coming off essentially a bye week and going into this game. But do you think that – when do you think they got the first sense that there might be a chance Liberty cancels that game and there might be a chance they could get in on this one? How long do you think they've had to maybe look at film on this?
Well, I think probably Saturday was the first time that there was a little bit of a conversation, but you know how it is. There have been conversations each week. I mean, there were conversations the week before on Thanksgiving week. So, one of the things I do know is that the team took, you know, some time off last week and coaches took a little bit of time off. So guys, you know, spending time with their family and thinking that they probably wouldn't play. But I think they probably started film review Saturday evening, Sunday with just a little bit of an idea, but really like thinking it probably won't happen. So I don't think BYU was over-prepared for Coastal Carolina. Same thing for Coastal. I think they probably, you know, Liberty had been having some issues, and I think that everyone was talking about possibilities, but nothing was obviously set in stone. So I think the coaches are taking everything with a grain of salt, just kind of like the whole nation is on everything that happens day by day. So I don't think either one of them are going to be overly prepared. So I think you're going to go in with a basic game plan, and I think BYU is going to go in with a game plan that we're bigger, stronger, faster, and we're going to be comparable to as far as Coastal Carolina seeing the level of talent, it'll be comparable to Kansas, which Coastal Carolina, you know, took care of them early in the season. I think it was 38-20 or 38-23. But they're not going to see Kansas on Saturday. They're going to see BYU. That's going to be very physical at the point of attack. Have been rolling. But the good news for Coastal is BYU's coming off a bye. So there are some scaries. You know how it is when you haven't really – BYU didn't spend a lot of time practicing last week, and then you find out you're playing on Saturday in a short week. So there is some drama going into this game for BYU. They have to be ready, and they're playing probably the best team they've played this year.
When you look at where BYU is ranked now 13th in the college football playoff, it seemed like they had to find a way to do something to get into a New Year's Six. Do you think if they win this game and win it convincingly and then beat San Diego State, do you think they can punch their ticket into that New Year's Six?
No. I'm not just going to punch the ticket. I do think that this gives us a great – it really does give BYU a ability to have a little bit more to argue. But still, you guys know the business. You know, the Power Five schools are going to be the ones that get all the respect. And they're going to look at BYU and the Coastal Carolina. The reality is the people who the powers that be aren't going to have a lot of respect for Coastal Carolina. So I do think it would be a bigger win for Coastal Carolina than BYU. But I do think it gives us gives BYU a strong argument that, hey, we beat a top 20 team. This is a different type of year. Really, you have to look at the rosters and the talent. I wish that people would, you know, when they're looking at who's going to play in these bowls, you have to look at the talent. BYU is a veteran team with a lot of great seniors who are, you know, NFL caliber players. So I'm hoping that will take that they'll look at that when they decide can BYU do they deserve to play on New Year's Six? For me. BYU does need to win convincingly. I think they can win convincingly. I think they should be able to handle everything Coastal has. And there's no knock against Coastal. It's a good ball club. But I just don't think they're going to be able to handle the trench that BYU comes with on Saturday. A little bit too physical, too big.
You know, this is interesting, too, because, Will, you're usually the I don't want to say glass half empty, but you're always like, hey, BYU's got to play really well or they could be in real trouble in this game. You know, you're – This is a really confident Will Snowden going into this game.
Yeah, I do feel confident. I mean, obviously, when you're really good up front, particularly on the offensive line, you have to think Coastal's going to have some issues. They can get moved off the ball, and BYU has moved everyone off the ball that they've played. So I do expect them to move these guys off the ball. I do expect a more dumbed down game plan for BYU. I'd like them to run the ball a little bit more at these guys. I mean, I'd like to see these backs carry it 30 times, kind of beat them up, show that we're a physical team. And then obviously you want to highlight these great receivers and obviously Zach Wilson. But I do think that you will see a heavier run game in this game than we've seen all season. Simply because it's a shorter week, and simply because we should win the trench. BYU should win this trench on the offensive line and the defensive line. I'm interested, they've got the center over at Coastal Carolina. I've actually watched a couple of their games, and he's a tough, gritty kid. When Kyrus Tonga lines up over him over and over and over again, I think he just might be too big, too strong, and too explosive. Where he might have that center in the lap of the quarterback too much, which causes all types of problems. So that's going to be an interesting matchup. So once again, I do expect BYU to smack Coastal Carolina. Now, Coastal's going to be up. So what they do have is this is their shot to knock off a big-time program. This coach does a great job. He's a young coach, a second-year coach there. And obviously he's got things rolling. Anything can happen in a game. But for me, whenever I look at a matchup, I do want to look at the trench. And I just think that BYU is just too much. So I do expect a big win. I'm going to be pretty aggressive. I want to see BYU beat Coastal Carolina at Coastal Carolina by 30-plus points.
That would go a long way. I think that'd be helpful, definitely helpful for them. Will, I want everybody out there to understand that Coastal Carolina is kind of operated offensively by a freshman quarterback that is a very capable quarterback. McCall is – he is a dual-threat type quarterback. He can get yardage with his feet. He can definitely get yardage through the air. He's pretty accurate. He does not have the arm strength that Zach Wilson has, but he's not as developed as Zach at this point. But he is a good quarterback. I based off of what you've seen from McCall, what do you expect from Elisa Tuiaki defensively? You bring in heat? Are you going to drop the eight like you do? How do you approach this game defensively?
Well, I think that you're going to see a lot of mix. They're going to test him and bring some heat and play man. But what one of the things that Elisa has done, and he's done very well, that people just don't – you know, I always try and explain to people that we're playing chess. You know, these coaches are playing chess, not checkers. That's not how you play this game. You know, this is a chess match. And Elisa has done an unbelievable job of mixing things up. It looks like he's dropping eight all the time. Well, he's not really dropping eight all the time. Even last year, he wasn't dropping eight all the time. There's still some things that he's still bringing pressure, slants, and you're in stunts. All of those things are there. So I think this week you'll see a nice mix of, you know, let's feel them out, identify what they really want to do, what they're doing well. But I do think you'll see a good amount of drop eight because they do want to throw the ball. And I think that this is the type of game that you want to be able to be in coverage because I think they should be able to handle Coastal Carolina's front with a three-man front. I really do. Whenever you can control the center of the field as well as I think they're going to be able to on Saturday, I think you can take some chances and drop eight. And I think the young quarterback, you can expect him to throw you some balls.
Fully agree.
You know, this is a question for both of you guys, actually, because, you know, you played this game at this level. When you're making the trip to Virginia, you're making the trip to Syracuse, and you're doing the two time zones, you know, going east, and you're doing it at short notice, does that affect your play at all, or are you guys young and strong enough you can handle it and it's not a big deal?
I think where you're young and you don't really – I just don't think it's a big issue. My big issues were the long, you know, 8:30 games, the late kicks. Those can affect you. Not that you're tired, just the long day of waiting around and trying to keep, you know, whatever the travel squad, you know, 60 to 80 guys focused long enough to accomplish what you went down there to accomplish. The good news about BYU this year, I just don't think that's going to be an issue. And the good news, they just have, this is a very veteran driven team. They have a lot, these are Kalani's seniors. You know, they have a lot of guys who've been around this program, who have dealt with a lot of ups, a lot of downs, and they're up. And as you guys know, it feels really good to be up and really crappy to be down. So I think they're going to go down there with the focus of we're going to really embarrass these guys, jump on them quickly. The coaching staff has a killer instinct, and I think they understand what is on the line. They need to go down there and let Coastal Carolina know you guys aren't on our level. Now, no disrespect to Coastal Carolina because they have plenty of weapons. I like the young quarterback. I like how gritty of a team they are. And one of the biggest things that people don't realize is winning begets winning. So it doesn't matter who you're winning against. That is what I learned when I came to BYU. We never went into a game like, oh, my gosh, we're playing Washington. We didn't care. We expect to win. It didn't matter that we had beat Boise State or New Mexico. That did not matter. What mattered is when we put on the pads and the helmet, we won. Coastal Carolina, when they put on the pads and helmet this year, they win. So they expect to win. And that's the same exact thing for BYU. They expect to win. When you're winning, winning becomes easy. It just becomes that's what you expect. You have 80 guys who expect to win. You have a coaching staff that expects to win. When you lose, you go, there's in the back of your mind all the time, it's like, well, you know, it's not our first loss. We've lost several times. So I'm a big believer that when you go in, you get two undefeated teams. Now you have to look at, obviously, the will to win. Both teams will want to win, but now I have to break down position by position. Are the matchups fair? And I think BYU outmatches Coastal Carolina. And the first place I always look is the trench on both sides of the ball. Coastal Carolina is in for some trouble.
I did want to kind of add on to that, Scotty, because Will and I came in the same year to that 1996 team.
Yeah.
And we made a trip to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we made the trip to Fort Worth, Texas, and we made a trip to Hawaii with that team, and then eventually made the trip to the Cotton Bowl. And at that point, we were, I think, 13-1. And I'll never forget my first introduction to road trips was Shea Muirbrook telling me to keep my mouth shut, was Itulie Mealy, who I thought was an incredible leader, you know, keeping things light but also keeping things professional, and Steve Sarkisian as kind of the overall leader of that team with a no-joke, you know, everybody better stay focused because this is my last shot. You better keep your yourselves professional type mentality.
When we're in Hawaii, stay in your hotel room. Don't sneak out.
Yep. And then I can tell you I've also been on teams that didn't have that type of leadership, and those road games got a little bit squirrely.
Yeah, for sure. And just to add to that, I can remember being uncomfortable. You know, not, you know, how do I act? Oh, wait, Hans is being funny over there. Don't laugh at him. I mean, just kind of one of those things like, you know, the mean teachers are on the plane, and I'm not going to mess around because, you know, at that time you might get chin checked too. I mean, with behavior that was detrimental to the team, it wouldn't need to be the coaches handling it. You might get chin checked by, you know, a teammate. And I did not want to get chin checked as a freshman, and so I got on the plane and sat there and was just excited to be there and learned a lot from that team. But yes, and then we did have teams, particularly our senior year. I think that we just struggled to be as focused as we should for several reasons, and I think that's why we ended up 6-5, Hans.
Yep.
Well, hey, Will, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the game, and look forward to catching up again here real soon. You're the best.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Thanks. Have a great day.
Hans and Scotty, hey, Tom Homo will be addressing the media today at high noon.
Huh.
And we will hear from Tom coming up in just about an hour and 10 minutes.
Well, I am very pleased to get Tom Homo in front of the BYU fans and get some insights and be able to hear from Tom Homo.
Yes, absolutely.
Who we have been excitedly waiting for.
And now he's got this game scheduled. He will address the media coming up at noon. What you may have missed coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go. The Big Show.
It's a big deal.
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Gordon, we have some breaking news from the world of college football. We've been talking about the eyeball emojis coming out of BYU. Jake Edmonds of KUTV says, I can confirm the rumors. BYU at Coastal Carolina is happening.
Not that Coastal Carolina is a marquee program, but they are highly ranked this year. Other teams have benefited from playing teams ranked in that same range and have gotten a boost out of that. So we'll see if the Cougars can do likewise.
Hey, they're undefeated. This is a good thing. And plus, they need to play. They need to stay on the top of everybody's mind.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. And remember, it's a opportunity to chat with Eric Weddle. He will join us next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Yes. Excited to catch up with Eric.
Talk a little NFL and college football.
Well, speaking of a little bit of what you may have missed, it wasn't a horrible thing to have an NFL game yesterday when I got home.
No.
That was actually pretty lovely.
I kind of like a little Wednesday afternoon football. Nothing wrong with that.
I really enjoyed it, kind of sitting back and catching a glimpse of what the Ravens were doing defensively and watching RG3 and watching the Steelers have to, you know, the Steelers had to shift it back into gear a little bit. Felt like they were cruising, and then all of a sudden the Ravens started to puff up their chest. But the Steelers get a win last night, 19-14. Some I don't know. It was a good game overall, Scotty. It was a really good game. Some really good short yardage defense by both teams. And I don't know. I didn't feel like the Steelers I felt like the ball placement on that final possession was a little wonky.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I didn't feel like they got the first. I was wanting to see the Ravens get possession and have one last shot there in the final seconds of that game. I think they'd had about 30 seconds when they took possession, and I'd like to see if they could have done anything with it. I thought it was bold by the Steelers to go for it on fourth down. I just didn't think they got it.
Yeah, I love the call. I love just going it and ending the game.
You liked Pittsburgh going,
yes,
for it 100%. Instead of punting it?
Yep.
Because I think the Ravens probably fielded that punt in about 28 seconds, 25 to 28
yeah.
seconds.
And then you're worried about a block punt. You're worried about all that other stuff going on.
Yeah.
I just say, you know what, let's end it. If you feel like you can get it, go get it and end it.
They did. They had a review, and they did just get just enough. Robert Griffin last night, Robert Griffin III, or RG3, as they call him, was not – spectacular. He actually went out of the game. What was it? Probably was it just the beginning of the fourth quarter?
Yeah, around there.
And then they brought in Trace McSorley. So RG3 had 33 yards at the time. McSorley came in and gave him 77. Didn't see anything from him that really stood out as fantastic.
And they
managed
need,
a couple.
They
passes
just need to get well. Lamar back, and they'll be fine.
He had one throw that probably went for, what was that, probably a – there was a missed tackle and probably yeah. 60 yards or
yeah,
something.
Something like that.
But Pittsburgh staying undefeated.
I'm curious now how long they're going to stay undefeated too, because right now they got a lot of momentum right now. They're playing well. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out for them. But fun team to watch for sure. All right, we're going to chat with Eric Weddle, get his thoughts on the game last night, coming up here in a moment. Brent is hanging out with us, though. We are live here at Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and put together your – get a sample box, pick some flavors. You really can't go wrong, though. I mean, all of them are just great.
They really are so good. I recently tried the Almond Apple Crisp because I was like, oh, I haven't tried this one. It was surprisingly bomb, and there's little pieces of apple in it, like dehydrated apple.
The Almond Apple Crisp?
Yes.
I haven't had that one.
I hadn't either. And I was like, oh, wait. I was just going through my mix box. Yeah. You know, I'm like, oh, what's this one? So I tried that one. I was like, I'm going to have to tell
crisp.
These guys about it. And okay. It has little pieces of, like, little bits of apple.
No
so
kidding.
It was really good.
I'm going to go sniffing around back in the kitchen here in just a minute. Go see if I can find an apple.
Absolutely.
Almond,
it was good.
Apple Crisp. So I want people to understand that this is the perfect time to try Built Bar.
Yes,
you're
absolutely.
Never going to get a better price. You're never going to find a discount like this.
Yeah, the discount's unreal. And you get a super cute holiday festive advent calendar that you can add to your cart. And it comes with additional coupons with each day that you open and treats with it. So I loved that. And it would make a really like awesome stocking stuffer, like you said previously. I loved that idea.
Are you still throwing in the two peppermint brownie Built Bars with the orders?
No, that was just the Black Friday special.
That was only the Black Friday special.
Yeah. So if you were lucky enough to snag that, those are really good.
Yeah, those
are. Have you tried that? The candy cane brownie?
I didn't have an opportunity to try it, but I did talk to somebody that did. And
I did.
Absolutely.
They're really good.
You loved it?
Yes.
Oh, look at this.
They're really good.
There it is, the Apple Almond Crisp. Man, look at that bar. You know what I love? Brenna, there are so many things. First and foremost, the flavor of these bars. You always have to talk about the flavor.
The flavor just like catches you off guard. Like, wait, what did I just bite into? Is this a candy bar or a protein bar?
It's that creamy milk chocolate, and it just tastes amazing.
Amazing.
Great taste and amazing textures. I liked it. I eat one of these bars, and it's got, you know, whatever, 18 grams of protein in this Apple Almond Crisp bar.
Yeah.
You eat one of these bars, and it really curbs that hunger crave that you got.
Oh, totally.
You got that 2 o'clock where you're thinking about hitting the vending machine. You know what? Knock down one of these and you're good for the rest, you know, good for the next 4, 5, 6 hours.
Yeah. I love it too. It's like a meal replacement when I'm on the go or if I don't have time. Really good travel snack.
Yeah.
Too. So I really
And you mentioned your kids. I mean, it's a great thing if your kids are looking for a snack after school or something like that, yeah. you know, this is something that gives them good protein. It's not crazy on the calories at all. It's yeah. a lot better than some of the alternatives.
Oh, totally. They're great for kids' lunches, too.
Oh, that's
my
good
kids
point.
Are toddlers, so I give them the Built Bites. They're just Built Bites are just the, like, the fun size yeah. protein bars. They love that, and they think they're getting some chocolate. So.
See, Hans and I are looking for the king-size Built Bar.
Yeah, I know.
The shareable.
But not really, yeah.
The family size. The family size that you don't share with your family.
Exactly.
Go to BuiltBar.com, use the keyword zone, and you will save not just 25%. They'll kick in an extra percent, get you to 26% off. Use the promo code ZONE. Eric Weddle joins us next right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.